Okay, good evening. Last week we had this chus of discussing the halachos of looking for an esrog, and we discussed the basic halachos of what's important to look for in an esrog, what's kosher, what's posel. This week, Bez Hashem, we will discuss the halachos of lulav. Tonight, we'll discuss the halachos of buying a lulav. And Bez Hashem, this coming Sunday morning, 9:30 till 10:15 approximately, in YBH, in the Beis Medrash on the second floor, we'll be discussing the halachos of hadasim and haravos and a few other halachos in regards to the lulav, how to bind them, how to hold them when you're doing hashanis and you have a sitter in your hand, other halachos that'll be important for that. But tonight, Bez Hashem, we'll focus on the lulav. So last week we quoted the pasuk in Parshas Emor, lakachtam lechem b'yayim rishayim, priyay tzadar, kapis tamarim, anafit tzavetz, v'arvi nochal. So last week was the priyay tzadar, that was the esrig. So tonight, next in the pasuk over there, chav gimel, pasuk mem, is the lulav, is the kapis tamarim. So we discussed last week an esrig that it needs a certain hechsher. By lulav, you don't need to have a special hechsher. We discussed last week, anyone who missed a shiur last week, all my shiurim are on TorahAnyTime.com. You just go to my picture, you click, and there's the shiur from last week. We discussed a hechsher with the chazunish hechsher and the badatz hechsher. By a lulav, you don't need a hechsher. There's no problems of grafting when it comes to a lulav. There's no spots that you have to worry about that we discussed last time. You don't have to necessarily check by daytime when it comes to a lulav. Those halachas that we discussed by esrig, so that we don't have to worry about by a lulav. The first thing that you need to look for by a lulav is the size of the lulav. So the size, the length, there's no maximum. There's no maximum to how long the lulav is allowed to be. As it could be as long as you want. If you look at pictures of people by the kaisel, you see these long, long lulavim, almost as long as the shayfers that they have. And there's actually a Magen Avraham in Hilchos Chanukah. In Hilchos Chanukah, Tafresh Ayin Beis of Katan Gimel, the Magen Avraham says it's nice, it's a hiddur to have long candles on Chanukah, just like it's a hiddur to have a long lulav. So it's somewhat of a hiddur to have a long lulav on Sukkot. It could be it's because that you won't run into problems as far as being too short, but it's more mashma over there from the Magen Avraham that it's just simply prettier to have a long lulav. So as long as you want, that's the better. That's whatever you want, but you have to be careful, just practical. You want it to fit into the lulav bag. I one time had 1 year where I bought a nice long lulav because that was the nicest one I found as far as all the other halachas we discussed. I came home, it didn't fit. So I don't remember what I did. I don't remember if I got a longer bag or if I got a different lulav. I don't remember. But that's something to obviously just practically to keep in mind. As far as the minimum. So the minimum is 4 tefachim. That's the Mishnah on Chav Tes Amud Beis, 4 tefach. A tefach is a measurement. We'll discuss how big a tefach is. But 4 tefachim, that is the minimum. A lulav has to be longer than that. Now, there's different shiurim, different opinions. What exactly is it? How big is a tefach? Since the mitzvah of lulav is a mitzvah midiraisa, so we need to be machmir like the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish says that a tefach is almost 10 centimeters, basically 10 centimeters, which means almost 4 tefachim is almost 40 centimeters, which is almost 16 inches. So find 16 inches, you think that's not a big deal. A lulav that's 16 inches, not a big deal. But it's important to know that you don't measure the entire lulav. It's not from top to bottom, but the shedra, the spine of the lulav, that's what needs to be 16 inches. So that means that it doesn't go all the way to the tippy top. The spine means the thickness of the lulav. The leaves that are on top, that's not part of the body of the lulav. Those leaves on top are not included. So you can't start counting from the tippy top. You have to start counting only from the top of the shedra, the thickness of the spine of the lulav. That's as far as the top. That's as far as the top. As far as the bottom, the Bir Halacha, who's the same person as the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishneh Berurah, in the beginning of Tafresh Mem Hei, he has a suffix in regards to the bottom. Do you say that you could only count from the bottom where the leaves start? Meaning on the bottom, there's the spine, but the leaves don't start immediately on the bottom, obviously. So he has a doubt in regards to that. The Chazon Ish says you should be machmir. It's based on a Vilna Gaon, that you shouldn't count from the tippy bottom either. From the top, for sure. But from the bottom, also the Chazon Ish says you should be machmer based on a Vilna Gaon, and the Mishneh Berurah has this suffix. So therefore, it's good to be machmer to try and get 16 inches just in regards to the shedra itself, starting when the leaves start, but up until where the shedra ends, not when there's only the leaves. That's preferable. As far as the bottom, if you can't, then you can't. But the top, for sure, the leaves we don't include. That's as far as the size. As far as the form of the lulav itself, the lulav needs to be straight. So on the top of Daf Lama Beis Amud Aleph in Sukkah, it says Akum Doima Lamagol is possible. That if it's crooked, if a lulav is crooked, similar to a sickle, then it's possible. A sickle, we don't use sickles nowadays, but a sickle, you all know what a sickle is. It's like in the harvest, they use it in the fields. So there, it's like almost like a circle. So the Gemara over there clarifies that, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, Tafesh Mem Hei, Sivches, only if the curve is forward is it possible. Meaning the Shedra is the back of the lulav. If it's curved forward, then if it's curved like a sickle, then we say that that's possible. The Mishnah Berurah and Sivkat Ma'am above explains, because it's not Hadar, it doesn't look pretty like that, and that Psul of Hadar applies by lulav as well. But if it's bent towards the Shedra of the lulav, then Zuhi Briyasai, that's normal, that's not a Paslos. So fine, so you think, okay, like a sickle, I mean, what's the big deal? You're not going to see a lulav like a sickle, totally bent over, but there's a catch. Rav Sadia Gaon, in his Siddur, Rav Sadia Gaon is one of the Gaonim, meaning from the 11th century, even earlier, perhaps the 10th century, he says that it should be yashar loy ma'ukum klal. It should be straight and not bent whatsoever. He understands that it, to be hider, to be hader, has to be totally, totally straight. And I saw Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says like this as well, that it should be totally straight. Actually, I saw Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says that first, it says it has to be perfectly straight. Why? It says because first you have to check that it's a lulav. Then you have to worry about if it's kosher. Meaning if it's not perfectly straight, then it's not a lulav. Then after, once you make sure it's a lulav, then you have to see if it's kosher. Other halachas we'll discuss. I'm not sure 100% why Rav Shlomo Zalman considers it, if it's not perfectly straight, that it's not a lulav, but that's what he says. But he says also, like Rav Sadia Gaon, that it needs to be perfectly straight. You'll notice sometimes you go around to a lulav store, you'll see people holding out the lulav like they're playing pool. You ever see that? People holding it straight out to make sure that it's perfectly straight. To see Akum Doima Lamago like a sickle, you don't need to hold it out like that. That you could tell by the naked eye very easily. But they're trying to be machmir, like Rav Sadia Gaon, and like Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach holds, to try and have the lulav as straight as possible. If it's sideways, it's a suffix in the Gemara over there. Shulchan Aruch brings it, Tarfesh Mehei Sivches, to try to be machmir, also because it's not hadar, that's a suffix, but that's preferable. But to try and get perfectly straight, that's the best. If not, then to the side is a suffix, and bent forward, that for sure is possible. The leaves, let's say the leaves are separate. Sometimes you come to a lulav and you see that the leaves are separated. So the Mishnah says the nifridu is kosher. If the leaves are nifridu, if it's spread out, then it's still kosher. It's still okay. But the Ramah in Tafresh Memhei Sif Aleph says from Rishonim that it's mitzvah mina mufchar, it's preferable, it's the best mitzvah to have it hugging tightly. To have the leaves hugging tightly, shouldn't be too hard to find a lulav like that. Usually you come to a store, there's plenty of lulavim. Should be able to find a lulav that's hugging tightly, and this way that's mitzvah mina mufchar. But if, let's say, you order something and that's what just shows up and that's all you have, or you come very late and that's all you have, so fine, it's still considered kosher if the leaves are a little bit spread out, but it's the best will be if it's hugging tightly. But it's important to know what's considered puzzle and what's something nice. So it's nice to have that it's hugging tightly, the leaves are hugging tightly, but it's better that that's the best, but if it's still spread out a little bit, it still is kosher. The main thing that a person needs to look at, like we discussed by the Esrig, the main thing is the spots. By the lulav, the main thing that we need to focus on is the tiyumis. The tiyumis is the middle leaf, and the Rishonim call this the ola emtsoi, the middle leaf. And most of the psulim by a lulav are by this top middle leaf. Now, just to first define exactly what the tumis is, many think, like I just said, top, many think that the tumis is automatically the tallest leaf. And usually it is. Most of the time the tumis is the tallest leaf on the lulav. But that's not the definition. And you can make a big mistake if a person thinks that that's automatically always the tumis. The way we find out what the tumis is, that around the shedra, around the spine of the lulav, each leaf has a partner. You'll see, if you look carefully, each leaf, you come up on the shedra of a lulav, each leaf has a partner on the side. It comes out from the middle, and it comes out two leaves, one on each side. So, at the top, it comes to the top, higher and higher. The top of the shedra, where the shedra ends, then the leaves will come out at the end, and those leaves will usually be the highest leaves, because it started from the top of the shedra. Those leaves that come to the top, it usually ends in three leaves on the top. If there's three leaves, then there's one tiyamis in the middle. Out of the three, the middle one is the tiyamis, because really the definition is the middle leaf. So we have in the middle of the shedra, it goes forming on top. the middle, if there's three, then the middle one is the tiamis. Sometimes, and I've seen this, that it'll come to be two tiamises, and it'll come to a tap where there's two leaves on the tap. And we'll have to discuss the halachas apply to one or both. Most of the time, there will be three leaves on the tap, and then it applies what we're about to talk about. The tiamis is just the middle leaf, which usually, again, is the highest one. It's not fused together necessarily, but it's just two leaves. It's just simply two leaves. Each leaf, we'll get to shortly, each leaf is really fused together with two leaves. But that we're not up to yet. That you need to pull it apart, that we're not discussing right now. Just two leaves that are on top. So if there's two leaves on top, then both of them are the tumors, and we'll see which halachas apply. Usually there'll be three on top, like the middle one will just be coming straight out of the shedra, then the tumors is just that middle one, that middle leaf that's coming out. So the first thing you need to check by the tumis of a lulav is that it's not nikdam roishay, that it's not cut off. It needs to come to a point. It can't be flat. The top leaf, the tumis leaf, needs to come to a point. If there's two tumises, then it's only possible if both of them are chopped off, only if both of them are cut off. Now sometimes you need an expert to see, is this really chopped off? You know, these lulavim are shipped from far, far away, and they're shipped in boxes, and then they're shipped from one place to another, and then finally to the moichah that you are at, and they're shipped in the boxes. Sometimes it's hard to know, was the top, you know, chopped off, of course by accident, but was the top chopped off, or is it just, you know, that's the way it is, that it was grown like that? Sometimes it's hard to know. You may have to show it to somebody who has more experience. But if it's chopped off, then that is possible. That's nikdam roishay. And the reason why it's possible is because that's not considered hadar. That's not considered pretty. That's not considered beautiful. And therefore, those of you who were here last week for the esrig, we discussed that any psul that's because of hadar, so we had the mabit. The mabit was one of the late rishayim, and he said a big leniency, a big kula, and we paskin like this, that any psul by an esrig or by a lulav that's because of hadar, then it's only if you notice it beli histaklus. It's only if you notice it without having to stare at it. If you need to stare very, very closely to the lulav, and then you're able to notice that it was chopped off a little bit, then that's not a problem of hadar. It's only if you can notice it already at the regular length. We said the Rabbi Yashav holds that's about a foot away. If your regular length, when you hold the lulav and esrog standard and shul, then if you could tell that it's chopped off from that distance away, then that's a psul of hadar by nikdam reisha.
So that would apply also to it. I wasn't able to put the esrog shir, but that would apply to esrog too, because
magnifying glass. Yeah. So we discussed very quickly, we just quickly say, we discussed last week by the spots, if you can only see a spot, if you look closely, so then that's not possible. It's only if you could tell the spot from a distance away. So we wanted to know what you just asked. Why are people scrutinizing an esrog? Why are they looking with a magnifying glass or microscope? So we said very, very basically what we said was that if you could tell the spot from this distance, just you can't tell which color it is, then you need to sometimes look very, very closely to see if it's black or brown. If it's black, then it's pusul. If it's brown, then it's not pusul. But the reason why people are looking so closely is just to see, those who know the halacha correctly, that to see very closely if it is black or brown. But to see if there is a spot, there's no need to look very, very closely. That, to see if there is a spot, it's only from a foot away. If you can't notice it from a foot away, even if it is black, it's still not a problem. Right, so I think somebody asked that last week. I told it, somebody else asked me that as well. Oh, and, you asked me, and I gave the shir in yeshiva. And also, someone asked it over there. I would imagine it means the regular eyesight, your regular eyesight. If somebody has very poor eyesight, I don't think that'll make the esrig kosher. Oh, because he can't see it. I'll take off my glasses. I'll shake the lulav without my glasses. So I would imagine that's the shake the esrig. I would imagine that's still puzzle. The regular good eyesight, 20/20, perhaps 20/20. The regular standard eyesight, if you could see it from that. So over here, by the nikdam reishay, also that's a psul of hadar, and therefore it is the also beli histaklus. Keep in mind, it's important to know that this psul of nikdam reishay, that when it's chopped off by the tiamis, that's a big machlokes in the rishayim. The Shulchan Aruch actually in Tarfish Memhei Sivav does not paskin that the tiyum is being chopped off is pasul. The Shulchan Aruch paskins only if most of the leaves have been chopped off on top. Now, you're not going to get a lulav with most of the leaves being chopped off, so it's really not so negeya. But to have just the tumis chopped off, the Shulchan Aruch says, is not a problem. But the Ramah says to be machmir. The Vilna Gaon says like this as well, that also that you should be machmir, even if just the tumis is chopped off, then you should not do it. But naturally, since with Samach Leikas, the Shaar Tzion, who's the same person as the Chafetz Chaim, he says over there in Sukkotim Chavches, he says in certain situations, B'makam Etchak, if the last resort, and that's what you have, and the just the Tiamis is chopped off, not if Reiv Ha'alim, but if just the Tiamis is chopped off, certain situations will be able to rely on it. But I think, again, like we said before, nowadays you come to a store, there's plenty of Lulavim, and you should be able to find one that, if you're pretty confident that the Tiamis is chopped off, the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon say to be machmir, so you shouldn't, preferably you should not use such a lulav.
Yeah. Does that matter what day?
This is throughout the whole thing. This is throughout the whole Yom Tov. In regards to the soul of chaser, if something's missing from an esrig, then it's only the first day or outside of Eretz, so the second day, but these psalm apply the entire Yom Tov. Next, there's two dinim, there's two halachas on the Flamed Beis Amar Aleph, and they're the following. Nechleka ha-tiyomis, if the tiyomis was split, and another halacha over there on Lama Beis Amar Aleph says nisdak kehimnik. If the lulav was split like a himnik, two halachas, nechulka tiyemis and nisdak kehimnis, and both of them are pasul. Both of them are pasul by a lulav. So there's a big discussion in the Rishayim and the Achrayim, and after that, what is the difference between what are these two psulim and what's the difference between them? Nechulka tiyemis, the tiyemis is split, and if it was nisdak kehimnik, it was cracked or split like a himnik. So the story is like this, like we were talking about before. Every leaf of the lulav really has two folds. You'll notice it. Every leaf really could be split into two folds, and that's what we make the bindalach for, right? We take a lulav that's pasul, and you take a leaf and you split it in half. You can split it in half, and then you make the bindalach, which Bez Hashem will discuss on Sunday. It's called an ala kafel. So by the tiyemis, those two leaves needs to be connected. If there's two tiyamis, the Mishnah Berurah says that even if one of them is nechelka, then it's pasul. So how much needs to be split to make it pasul? So first we're talking about nechelka tiyamis. How much needs to be nechelka? How much needs to be split to make it pasul? So the Raman, Tafresh Memhei, Siv Gimel says that mi'ikr de dina for nechelka tiyamis, it's only if it's all split all the way down to the shedra. So, you know, that's that all the way till where the leaf ends. That's really not going to happen. Those two leaves that are very close together, there, you have to fold them apart. If they'll be so split all the way down to the shedra, that's probably not going to happen. But the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Tazayin brings the Vilna Gaon, the Gra, that's machmer, that also if most is split. Like a majority of the way down to the shedra, because we say ruba kakule, most is like everything. So then that would also be possible. Also, not so common. But that's as far as nechelka tiyemis. But it still depends, even if it's split a little bit, if it's on an angle that is nisdak kehimnik, then that is also possible. That's over there in Sif Zayin. Now, what is a himnik? If it's split like a himnik, then the lulav is going to be possible. What's a himnik? So a himnik is an Aramaic word. So the Me'iri brings over there that it's kemachuga. If it's split like a machuga, so at least that's a Hebrew word. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem Dalid, pasuk Yud Gimel, that says, kemachuga yisa'aru. And Rashi says, what's a mechuga? A kli, it's a utensil, she'oisim by tziyurim b'mechuga, that you can make pictures b'mechuga, compass balaz. A compass balaz. So those of you who remember from high school, what's a compass? A compass, you make circles with a compass, and a compass is like this, right? It's like a V. It's like an upside down V. There's a Gemara above Metzia. I don't know if we did it. I don't think we did it. In the Chofei Mebeiz. That talks about small kalim that are thrown in the garbage that you don't necessarily have to return because they're just thrown in the garbage. So it says over there, one of the kalim is the himnik. And the Rabbeinu Chananel says, he says it's a fork. It's a fork that you use to eat food with. So a fork, basically, it's like a V or a Y, and that means that it looks like two leaves. So if the top of the lulav is split like a V, like a compass, or like a fork, so then, a top of a Y, then that's pasul. Now, how much is that? So the Chayadim's opinion is very, very machmer. Chayadim says that once you can notice it, if you see it, then it's already pasul. So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring that part of the Chayadim, so we don't necessarily pass him like that. But the Rishayim do say that it has to be pasuach harbe, has to be, or nistak harbe, has to be opened up a lot. So the way Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Orbach says the gather is that if it looks like two leaves, if it looks like two leaves, then it's puzzle. Meaning, again, we're talking about one leaf, that every leaf has two folds that you could split. If you take your fingers, then you could split them. So if it's split enough, this tiamis on top, if it's split that it looks like two separate leaves, then it's puzzle. Now, I've seen many years, I've seen some of them that are totally closed. It's not so easy to find ones that are totally, totally closed. I was just talking to a Merchel Lulavim recently, and he said the Deri Lulavim are closed all the way to the top, so that's why he charges $40 extra for the Deri Lulavim. Maybe if you're in a store, you could ask to see the Deri Lulavim. You see what the, you see what it is, if it's taka closed to the tippy-tippy top. But the Rama says that in Siv Gimel, that even though it's puzzle, only if it's split very wide or split like Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach says that you could, that it looks like two leaves, the Rama says that it's again mitzvah min hamuchar to not be split at all. It's not puzzle, but other, it's mitzvah min hamuchar to have it totally closed. And like I said, there have been a few years I've been searching for my own lulav. Usually my father was the one who always chose it out for me. I've been searching for my own lulav and esrog for about, I don't know, 15, 16 years by now, and I think 3 or 4 years, maybe 5, I had a lulav that was totally, totally closed. Meaning it's not so common, at least in my stand, what I saw, that teeny bit open, it's totally kosher, it's mitzvah min hamuvchar to have totally closed. And the reason why the Mishnah Berurah explains this of cutting your test is because as you shake it throughout the entire sukkah, you'll be shaking your lulav, he's afraid, we're afraid that it's going to get more and more open. More and more open, that's what we're afraid of. So technically, as far as the kashrus of the lulav, again, only if it's split enough that it looks like two leaves, then we say it's puzzle. If it's not like that, which generally speaking it's not like that, then it's kosher, definitely kosher, and you could walk out happy, you have a kosher lulav. But it's mitzvah min hamufcha, the Rama says, to be totally, totally closed on top, which is definitely possible to find. Totally, totally closed on top, that's mitzvah min hamufcha, because we are afraid that if you shake it, it's going to expand and it's going to get open more. Sorry? Well, the bindalach are really on the bottom and not on the tippy-tippy top. Oh, yeah, you say, okay, not on the tippy top. You're saying, but it gets high, if it's towards the top, yeah, perhaps that would help. Perhaps that would help if you tie it tight enough. You don't want to tie it too tight and too high, because there is a halacha that we'll touch upon it later, that you, when you shake, you're supposed to have kiskus ha'alem, which means that you're supposed to have, like, the leaves are supposed to shake a little bit. So you're not supposed to tie them, the bindalach, so tight that the leaves don't shake. And when you forward 3 times and you shake, the leaves should give a shake. That's something that preferably you should have. So you don't want to tie the bindalach around too tight and too high to the tippy top of the lulav, because then you'll be preventing the kiska sound. Yeah, I do believe. Yeah. I'm sorry, no. Some say it's because of hiddur, but the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, they say that it's not a problem of hiddur. They say it's a problem of lekicha tama. Has to be a complete taking, and they say that if it's split, then that's not a lekicha tama. So that's true, it's a good point. According to the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, that it's a problem of lekicha tama, then it's, this would be even without, even if you need to look very closely, it would still be possible. So we wouldn't be able to rely on the mabit, because that's only by a psul of hadr, that the normal way of looking. But something that's be'etzem lacking in lekicha tama, because it says lekach tem. So we darshan lekicha tama, tama means complete, whole. So you want to be a lekicha tama, if it's split, then they say that the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch Rav, they explain that that's a chasar in the lekicha tama. So there we wouldn't have the leniency of the rabbi. I should mention that. I don't have enough experience yet to check out the Deri Lulavim. This year specifically, I want to go check the Deri Lulavim and see the comparison to others. But this Meicher said that, because just for Rabbi Schwab's shul in the neighborhood, I'm taking the orders this year. So I was dealing with Rabbi Schwab and with the Meicher, and the Meicher wrote on the form that there's $40 extra for the Deri Lulavim. So I knew that everyone's going to ask me why. So he told me, yeah, they're great. They're connected all the way to the tippy top. So I want to go check it out, see Taka if that's true. I'm sure there'll be some Deri Lulavim that are not, and I'm definitely sure that I'll find some other Lulavim that are. But maybe, you know, generally that's the way they are. That's just the way they grow. When you're looking at the split, you'll come across something that's called the kneppel. Right? You know that? The kneppel. So that's a machlekes. The discussion, the story is like this. In the Gemara in Sukkah, on the bottom of Laman Aleph and Bay, it says that kofuf is pasul. If the lulav is bent, then it's pasul. So the Ran and the Ritva, it's brought in the Shaar Tzion in Sivkat and Mem Gimel, they say that not only if the Shedra is bent, which we had by Akum Doimel Amagel, that we spoke about before as far as the Shedra being bent, but even if the top leaves are bent, that is also pasul. So the Ran and the Ritva say that if the leaves are bent on top, that is also pasul. However, that's the Ran and the Ritva. The Rosh in Klal Chav Dalet, Simen Yud, says only if the Shedra is bent, that's what's pasul. And he says, when the leaves are bent, he says, Oyevani Yoiser. He says, I love it even more. He says, I prefer, that's what the Rosh holds, that he prefers to have a Knepple. Why? Because it's tucked in, and you know that it's not split, it can't be bumped into, so it's better to have a bent one. Now, of course, the Paiskim will discuss, according to the Rosh, that bent is kosher, it's even better. So what's the difference between Akum Doimel Amagel and Kofuf? So that's not for now, but the place can discuss, according to the Rosh, what is the difference between those two. According to the Ran and Ritva, it's clear. Akum Daim al-Magal is the Shedra is bent. Kofuf is the leaves is bent. That's pasul. But according to the Rosh, he says that if the leaves themselves are bent, that's kosher, and he likes it even more. How do we paskin? So the Shulchan Aruch and Tarfesh Memhei Siftes brings the Rosh, and the Mishnah Brura in Sifkat and Membei says the minig is lahakal. He says the minig is to be makel. If you have a lulav with a knepel, then the minig is to be makel. The Mishnah Brura doesn't say he prefers, but he does say that the minig is to be makel, like the Rosh, that you could have that. But the Mishnah Brura says va'ayin shari tshuva. You should see the shari tshuva. So the shari tshuva is not the Rebbeinu Yoni. The shari tshuva is on the page of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Brura. There's the commentary of the shari tshuva, and he brings many paiskim, the Yavitz, the Radvaz, the Taz, the Bach, that say that you're not Yoitze, like the Ran and the Ritva, that if the leaves are bent, the knepel, then you are not Yoitze. So, Lamaisa, since many Rishonim say that it's possible, so to be Yoitze l'choladeis, Rabbi Yashav says that it's better not to get a lulav with a knepel. If you see somebody in shul with a lulav with a knepel, Shulchan Aruch does bring it, and the Mishnah Brura does say the minig is to be mekel, so you can't tell the guy that he wasn't Yoitze the mitzvah, but again, you're going to a shop and you're buying lulavim, you might as well buy one now. Rabbi Yashav says it's better to buy one without the knepel because you have, the Mishnah Brura does say ayin shari tshuva, so it's better not to have without the knepel.
Well, usually they
close down the seed that they really want it. Yeah, it could be that's their mistake. I know somebody who always mocked me to get the knepel,
yeah.
But I don't know if he knows the halacha so much. He doesn't have a Hasidisha background. But I don't know if he's doing it because he knows the halachas. It could be I don't know. But if that's their Messiah, so then yeah, they're going like the Rosh. They have the Rosh, the Shulchan Aruch. And Mishnah Brura says, Minig Lahakal. You know. You'll find another thing on the top of the lulav, something that's called the kara. And that's like that brown stuff that holds the lulav on top, that holds together the lulav on top. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. You may not have known that it was called the kara. But that brown stuff, you see, it gets all over your clothes and it gets stuck to your pants and it's all over the boxes, that brown stuff that's on top of the lulav. So what's with that? So some like it. The Beis Yosef in Tafresh Mem Hei says, you know, it's good to have the kara, and Rabbi Yashav brings that the Svardim are makbid to have with the kara, like, you know, they hold like the Beit Yosef, they hold like the Beis Yosef, that it's good to have the kara on the top of the lulav, and he holds, and because he says he holds it together, and makes sure the kara holds the lulav together, makes sure that it doesn't get split, and even if it's really split underneath, but you know now it holds it together. So that's why there's an advantage of having the kara. Many places can say that it's not recommended because they say that the kara, that stuff, is not part of the lulav, and underneath it may really be nisdak, it may really be nikdam, it may be yavesh, which we'll talk about shortly, and they don't hold of the above. Of the svara of what we said before, that you know really it's covering it and holds it together and we can't see it. They say, listen, the truth is that underneath you never know what's going on underneath. It could be split, it could be chopped off, you don't know what's going on. So therefore it's recommended not to have the kara. Another reason why Paiskim say it's not recommended is the Bikur Yaakov. The Bikur Yaakov, and you probably quoted him last week, he's the same person as the Aruch Lener. So in Tafresh Memhei, Sivkat and Aleph, he says it's not good because the Rama says, like we spoke about before, the Rama in Tafresh Nun Aleph, Siftes, says when you shake the lulav, you should have Kiskus Ha'alan. You should have the leaves should shake. So he says if it has the Kara, then that'll prevent the leaves from being shaken as much as it could have been. So preferably it's good to have the Kiskus Alan, the leaves shaking. So therefore that's another reason why it's preferable not to have the Kara. Halacha Lamaisa, it's a big diyun. Definitely it's kosher with it. Rabbi Yashav says it's kosher with it. But Lamaisa, it's not preferable. Again, I know I keep on saying things are kosher, but not preferable, but it's important to know. You have a list on your mind, or on a paper, of what's kosher, what's pasul, and what's preferable, and you try and get, you know, as much as you can. If you can't find something that, a lulav that's closed, or something that you really find, something that you're not happy with, so then you could take one with the car. But again, preferably, it's better to have less of that. As far as lulav yavish, the Mishnah on Chavtes Amabey says a lulav that's yavish, that's dried out, that's pasul, and that is because it's not hadar to have a dried out lulav. The Shulchan Aruch and Tafresh Memhei, Sivhei, says that this is only if most of the leaves are dry. Only if most of the leaves are dry. I once saw a lulav like that. It was incredible. And the Shulchan Aruch explains that means that it turned white. So like I saw a lulav once, like more than half the lulav was white. And so if most of the leaves are dry, then we say that's already lulav yavish, and the lulav is considered yavish, and it's not hadar, and it's pasul. The Gra at the end of Tafresh Memhei and the Prima Gadim brought in the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Chav Beis, they say a chumrah. They say a chumrah above, over the Shulchan Aruch, and they say that if the top is white, if the top of the lulav is white, even if the rest is fine, that's also pasul. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch says only if most of the lulav is white. But the Gra and the Prima Gadim, they're machmer that even if the top of the lulav is white, that is also pasul. The Chazon Ish and the others argue, depends on how to learn a certain ravid. The Chazon Ish says, no, you don't have to worry about that. But if you want, you could be machmer. If you see a lulav that's perfectly closed, but the tippy top is white, so fine, you know, maybe it would be a good idea to take it, because the Chazon Ish say it's not a problem, and the Shulchan Aruch says it's not a problem. It's a chumra from the Gra and the Prima Gadim to not have the tippy top white. Hold on 1 second. L'chaira, as you were pointing out before, if this is a psul of hadar, since this is a psul of hadar, it's also like the Mabit. It's only if it's beli histaklus. If you could only tell that the tip is white, even if you want to be machmir like the Gra and the Prima Gadim, the tippy tip is white. So then, it's only if it's beli histaklus. If you could only tell by staring at him and looking very closely, then that's not a problem.
Right.
Okay. So I don't know how much of it was white. If Rav Moshe had the lulav hanging there the entire year, I would imagine some of it was white. At least the tip was white. So it could be, you know, I can't say a psak from Rav Moshe because it's a story, and also I don't know how it was exactly. But if he went, could be, he went, you know, strictly with the Shulchan Aruch and the Chazon Ish, that only if most of the lulav was white.
At least another year. At least for a second year. That's all I know. It could
really?
Be more than that.
Very interesting.
He got his money's worth.
He got his money's worth, okay. Yeah. There is another chumrah that what we're talking about here is where the lulav is white, and we said a chumrah from the Vilna Gaon that even if the tippy top is white, let's say it's not white, but it's not green either. It's like brown from the Chayim HaShemesh, from the sun. There's some type of, it's brown on the top. You'll notice that on the lulavs, that it's not necessarily white, but it's not green. It's like some type of beige, or not beige, but like a brown on the tippy top of the lulav. So most poskim say that even if you're machmer like the Gra, that the tippy top should not be white, but they say if it's brown, then it's okay. But the Briska Rav, and I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach like that, that if the tippy top is brown, it's okay. But the Briska Rav, he held that was a problem. And not this year, but a different year, someone came over to me and said, oh, you're giving shiurim on the Dalet Minim? So tell me, what's a brisker lulav? So that's the answer. A brisker lulav means that it's green all the way to the tippy-tippy top. Meaning not just white, not just that it's not white, but it's not even brown. To have brown, again, most places can say it's okay, even according to the Vilna Gaon and the Prima Gadim. If it's brown on the tippy top, it's okay. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach says like that. But the briskers, I don't know if anyone here is a brisker, but are you a brisker? No. But if anyone goes with the brisker menhagim and they want to try to be machmer like a brisker, the brisker lulav, if somebody asks you, what's a brisker lulav means that it's green all the way to the tippy top, not even white, and not even brown.
Then
you would have to, well, a dairy is as far as connected. I'm not sure if they're also green. They're very, very green. Okay, yeah, so it could be. So if it, the rest of the lulav doesn't make a difference so much if it's very green, a little bit green, but if it's to the tippy top, then that would be there. Okay. One last halacha is what we call the canary lulav. The canary lulav. It's an island off of the Atlantic Ocean on the top of Northwest Africa, right off of Morocco. And it looks similar to a lulav, but the question is that really a lulav? So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein is in the Igros Moshe Chelik Dalad Kufchav Gimel, and most Paiskim they say that that's not a lulav. That is not considered a lulav, and it's a min acher. It's a different type of species. It's not a kapas tamarim. You need a real kapas tamarim. And Rav Moshe says actually very strong lashonis. He says it's a bracha levatala, and whoever sells it is over on lifnei yiver lesit and michshol. And he says very strongly. Rav Moshe says that those are not considered a lulav. I saw the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach in Halicha Shleima. He says in Perik Yud Ois Tes. He says it is kosher, but Rav Moshe says it's not kosher, and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank also says it's not kosher. Don't worry about it, because most lulavim that you'll see are really lulavim. They're really kapas tamarim. They're not canary. But one way you could check is there's a picture book, the Alaminim from Rav Michal Stern. Rav Michal Stern was the son of Rav Moshe Aaron Stern, and he wrote a picture book, and obviously he was a big mumcha in lulavim and esregim, and he says that the canary lulavim have a very weak shedra. So if you would hold the lulav out, like you're playing pool, like we were discussing before from Absad Yigain, and you would hold it upside down, meaning the shedra on the bottom, then the leaves will drop totally, and it'll be like a rainbow. It will just like fall over. If you take a regular lulav, that won't happen. But if you take the canary lulavim, so if you hold it upside down, then the leaves will just tumble over like a rainbow. And he says, then you'll be able to check that it's a canary lulav, but most of them are not like that, but that's just a interesting halacha to speak out that Rav Moshe discusses and others, and most places can say that that's not a kosher lulav because that's not considered a lulav. Last week we ended off with a story, if you don't mind, maybe we'll end off with another story again. It's good to have some stories to say over on Sukkos. Also, this story is taken from my father's book. I have a large stash of stories whenever I want. So there was a man who was in charge of the Chever Kadisha in the Israeli army, and he used to go around whenever, unfortunately, someone was killed in the Israeli army, so he went and he retrieved the body and he brought the body back to the families. This way, the soldier was able to have a proper kvura, kvuras Yisrael, and a proper burial. So it was during the times of the Yom Kippur War in 1973, and one of the battlefronts was near the Suez Canal. It happens to be, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Fairlawn for Shabbos, for Shabbos Bris, in the Sephardic Center over there, and they put me up, the family put me up by some Sephardic guy nearby. Very nice guy, and he was showing me pictures Shabbos afternoon that he was in the army in the 1973 in the Yom Kippur War. He was showing me his whole album. I wanted to take a nap, but he was showing me his entire album, every picture in the Suez Canal over there, and very interesting pictures of helicopters blown up. I mean, very interesting. But anyway, so I don't know if you knew this man, but this man was going around. He was part of the Chever Kadisha, and when he would go around, he would bring a siddur to people, or bring a talis, or a tehillim, or a tefillin. And on Sukkot, he brought, it was the Yom Kippur War, it was, you know, around that time, and he brought a lulav and esrog around. So it was on a Shana Rabbah, and he was passing around the lulav and esrog, and there was one soldier who was totally not from, not dati, but he saw the line. There was a line of people waiting to shake the lulav and esrog, and, you know, finally someone was telling him, no, you might as well come, what do you lose, come, shake the lulav and esrog. So fine, eventually, after many minutes of convincing him, finally he left where he was, and he came, and he was shaking the lulav and esrog. While he was in that area, a few hundred feet away, shaking the lulav and esrog, a bomb hit his truck, and his truck was full of ammunition, and there was a huge explosion, and there was a big crater, and there was not a shard of metal left from his truck. And he was planning on staying by his truck. He only left the truck only because of the fact that he was convinced to do the mitzvah of lulav. And there's a Maril. The Maril was also one of the late Rishonim. He says that lulav is begematria 68, for the mathematicians here, and chayim is also begematria 68. The numerical value of lulav and chayim means life, both of them are 68. And the Maril says anyone who's mekayim the mitzvah of lulav, I guess mekayim the mitzvah of lulav properly, is zeicha to chay olam hazeh v'olam haba. And Olam Haba we can understand, and we see from this story again that clearly that this person, by being Mekai in the mitzvah of lulav, he was zeicha to chay olam hazeh, his life was saved. A few months later, this man who was in charge of the Chever Kadisha, he read in the newspaper that this soldier had a baby girl, and he said that he's only alive because of the mitzvah of lulav, and he thanks, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the mitzvah of lulav that saved his life, and he named his baby girl Lulava. So, if you know a girl, if you ever meet an Israeli girl who is about 39 years old, and her name is Lulava, it's probably her. But again, so through the schus, Be'ez Hashem, the schus of the halachas that we discussed tonight of learning the knowing the halachas the lulav. Taka should be zeichet the chayil mazev chayil ba. And Bez Hashem Sunday morning in YBH, like we said, 9:30, we'll discuss the halachas of Hadassim and Aravos and other halachas in regards to shaking the lulav.